We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome, Bill Michaels Show's on the air. We are so glad that you are on board today. We certainly appreciate it. 855-830-8648 on the Loans by Kip.com toll-free talk line. If you choose to try to chime into the program, we always welcome. So if you want to come in, come on in. Hang out with us for a little bit. Speaking of hanging out with us, coming up tonight on the Huddle, the Bill Michaels Huddle back on the road again tonight. And the reason being is because we don't have a show coming up on Thursday because Thursday's Thanksgiving. So come on out and see us tonight if you want to be a face in the crowd, maybe win a few prizes, have some fun along the way. Come on out and join us at Kelly's Bleachers. We are going to be on Blue Mound, just north of Miller Park. Everybody knows where Kelly's Bleachers is. You ever been to a Brewers game at some point or another? Come on out tonight. We're going to be there from 6 to 8. Kevin Holden from CBS 58, Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58, yours truly, the Bud Girls, all going to be on hand tonight. Looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. And we look forward to seeing you as, again, a face in the crowd, 6 to 8 tonight. Mark Daniels from 1440 AM, 101.9 FM, WNFL in Green Bay, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hello, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. So let me ask you this. How much faith do you have in Brett Hundley now? Because Mike McCarthy is staunchly in his corner.
I don't have nearly as much as the coach does, but I don't have 3 years invested in him. So... you know, for that little step he took forward with a nice fourth quarter in Chicago, gigantic steps backwards. And you're going to get this with a kid who's still played 200, 300 NFL snaps at full speed. The game just is too fast for him, Bill. He can't process the information from snap to throw or snap to feet fast enough. And it's unfair because, as McCarthy pointed out yesterday, look, to hold them to Aaron Rodgers' standard is ridiculous, and it is. And so we're getting what we're getting, a third-year veteran, you know, getting clobbered out there, and it's going to continue. They have no alternative but to just, you know, stay the course and decide whether this guy's going to be the next quarterback in Green Bay or not, because that's ultimately what it's going to come down to.
Well, I think Brett Hundley, I mean, we saw progression going all the way through that Chicago game, and you kind of waited for at some point adversity to hit. I don't know if we expected it to hit this hard. I mean, the most intriguing thing about this upcoming game for me is how he bounces back from this. I mean, that if there's a story to be had, that's it, to see how Brett Hundley bounces back from what we saw against the Baltimore Ravens.
That would be a great story to, you know, bounce back and execute and knock off a division-leading Steelers team on the road. That'd be a gigantic story. You're right. I believe he's got the ability. I believe he's got the cognitive ability. I just believe he hasn't seen it, you know, on the field. And it really is different. Just ask Nathan Peterman. Holy cow. You know, five in the first half. It's going to get to you. But, you know, the Packers, I really think are disappointed that he hasn't been able to function better. Having practiced all of these plays and having a grasp of, you know, the personnel combinations and the checks and everything else that has been a part of learning this system for 3 years. It just hasn't translated onto the field, and I think they're really inwardly disappointed, but McCarthy will never say that. He's got to back this guy.
So, moving forward, I mean, how short of a leash do you believe there is on Brett Hundley going into the game this weekend?
Don't even pack the leash. There's no leash. What, are you going to play Joe Callahan?
I'm just throwing it out there.
No, come on, Bill. No, that's not going to happen. And they're gonna play Hundley until either the end of the Lions game on New Year's Eve or until he wins a couple and Rodgers comes back. It's one or the other.
See, that's the one question that I have is, let's just say things go horribly wrong and it looks like he just doesn't have it. Do they say, you're still our starter, we're just going to see if we can't get a different spark and try to salvage something? Or if you kind of believe in your back of your mind that maybe this thing's already pretty much gone by the wayside, you just do everything you can to try to get Hundley any kind of value in the offseason. Because to me, that's the reason right now you're probably doing this and committing to Brett Hundley more so than anything. Also, and I think there's a little bit of legacy on the line. You've had numerous, Brian Brohm and Vince Young and Seneca Wallace, and you can go through the whole list. I think you got a little bit of legacy on the line with this guy.
Yeah, you know, Ted Thompson is not, other than the first one, hasn't found another one at that position, anything close to it through the draft or otherwise. So, yeah, there might be something to that. And when you talk about his value, I think his value is plummeting around the league. But even as poorly as he's playing, his value is still slightly increasing to the Packers. So unless he completely washes out down the next month and the Packers are 5-9 with 2 to go, well, then they might just say, well, what the heck, might as well play Callahan and get a look. But that's the only way I could see that happening.
How do you think the banishing to the end of the bench of Devontae Mays has gone over inside that locker room?
It's not going to last long. He's going to get snaps on Sunday night. They're going to throw him back out there. Tragic, I mean, debut, and there's no question about that. But you saw him in camp. I think he's got some ability. I don't say he's going to bust out for 100 like Jones did or not, but I think he'll carry the ball again. That was just a short-term deal. I think McCarthy was jolted by it because he knew Williams was the only other available running back. And to have that happen, he didn't want to burn out Williams in a game that was still at that point close. But I think Mays will get another chance, probably Sunday night, a couple of carries for sure.
Well, I look at the way he was kind of sat, and then Mike McCarthy said, well, I've got one running back.
Yeah, that didn't help.
That's what I'm saying. That's the one thing. Mike McCarthy, I thought, when he kind of publicly criticized Eddie Lacy, which I thought was the last resort, so to speak, that didn't go over real well. Some people said you shouldn't have publicly criticized him, even guys rumbling in the locker room. I don't know what it does at the podium to say, I've only got one running back. You know what I mean? I don't know how that is. Look, if it motivates a guy to play better, that's great, but I don't know what that does to guys around him.
Yeah, you got a point. I think McCarthy sometimes will say things that he'll, as soon as he leaves the podium, he's going to go, damn, that didn't come out right. And I think this is one of those. He knows he's down to the bare bones at the running back position. He knows he's going to need Mays to at least do something here in the next couple of weeks. So, yeah, I think he kind of just bit his tongue after that one came out. As far as the Lacy thing goes, what has Eddie done lately? Holy cow, he can't get on the field and he can't get his weight down, you know, two time zones west of here. So I think McCarthy was right on with Lacy.
No, I completely agree in that realm. Eddie Lacy, once he left, I kind of got the sense that Eddie Lacy had mentally checked out anyway. I think it was going somewhere else, maybe to play the Packers in the first game of the season, gave him a little bit of motivation. But beyond that, it's same old for Eddie Lacy.
You know what? I don't think he ever checked in. I think Eddie Lacy liked playing football because he was good at it, could make some money. But that's it. He really didn't have the fire in the belly. I don't think. Never has.
Hey, speaking of the running backs, at least through all of this, I think when things get back to normal and Aaron Rodgers comes through that tunnel, I believe they found a run game between Aaron Jones and what they have in Jamal Williams. I'm not saying it's, you know, Emmitt Smith and company, but I think they've found themselves at least a legitimate run game, don't you?
Yes, and I'm glad it's not Ty Montgomery that's the legitimate runner. I was very skeptical of that as a full-time move, it's the injuries and the ribs and the punishment he's taken has proven my point. Yeah, he's got a thick body, but he's still a wide receiver, and he's not quite sure how to take those shots between the tackles because they are vicious, and it's 600 pounds coming on you. I like what Williams has done. This is a team that still prefers at least having their offensive linemen backing up rather than going forward with a heavy dose. But they're capable of, I think, running the ball fairly well. They're never going to be confused with a power team. But, yeah, I like what I've seen from those two kids, and I hope we can see what Mays has to offer as well.
The wide receiver position, yesterday we had Jordy Nelson on the Horse and Plow Huddle, and he said, look, they're working with Brett as a leader. He feels it necessary to work with Brett. But yet you're still not seeing the number of throws go in Jordy or Randall's direction. It seems to be Devontae Adams is the guy. Can you put your finger on the reason why?
Well, I think Hundley's, you know, not unlike the early days of Favre and Sterling Sharp. He's got the one guy he feels most comfortable with, and it's the one guy he's going to look for more often than not. And the other thing is, I still don't see Jordy getting a ton of separation. There were a couple of plays where he's busted loose in coverage and Hundley didn't see him. But, you know, Rodgers was still throwing those other guys open. Hundley's not good enough yet to do that. If they're not open, he's going to look away. He doesn't process the fact that, all right, Jordy's got the corner with outside leverage on his back shoulder. So if I throw it here, there's going to be separation. You know, if there's not separation when he's ready to fire, he's going to go somewhere else. And Jordy's not getting a whole lot of that separation. Still, it was a criticism when Rodgers was down before and when they got off to the slow start. They need more speed at the receiver position. They just do. I thought the Ravens exposed that even with Brandon Carr, who's a veteran guy and a slower guy. But Tony Jefferson and Jimmy Smith blanketed them, especially on the extended plays. When it was splatter time, Packers couldn't run away. That's why Hundley ran into so many sacks.
I'm talking with Mark Daniels, reporter for 1440 AM and 101.9 FM, WNFL in Green Bay. Over the last couple of weeks, the defense has played better. They've gotten off the field on third down. Mike Daniels had said, going back to the Bears game, that you know they got tired of hearing that they sucked. I mean, it gave them a little extra fire, I guess, kicking the pants. How much better do you think this defense is playing, or do you think it's just we're waiting for the other shoe to fall once they face this Pittsburgh Steelers team on Sunday night?
Yeah, it could be a stat equalizer on Sunday night for sure. They got better. The Lions, I thought they played well. Bears are horrible on offense. The Ravens don't excite me on offense. Nonetheless, they made plays. They got some sacks. They got off the field on third down. I think it was 21% for the Ravens. And the running game in the last 3 weeks has been, 60 yards or less? Very doable. A lot of tackles for losses. I like the energy inside. I like the way the corners are coming up to tackle in the run game. But they're going to really get tested. And now you've got, you know, Kenny Clark, who is, I think, an unsung, really big part of this defense this year, out. I'm not sure about Clay Matthews. It's going to be more Kyler Fackrell, going to be more Vince Beagle. Morgan Burnett and Kevin King are out. I think the Packers are going to be exposed to a very difficult evening.
Mark, always a pleasure, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, see you, Bill.
All right, pal, talk to you later. There you go, Mark Daniels from WNFL in Green Bay, our fine affiliate there, some of the best call letters in all of radio sports. All of radio sports. Always good to get him on. Always good to chat with him on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Tonight we're going to be out on the huddle, and hopefully you are facing the crowd. Hope to see you out at Kelly's Bleachers on Blue Mound Road 6 to 8 tonight with our guys from CBS 58. Looking for a lot of fun this evening. And yes, Mike, they will be giving away prizes. And yes, if you get registered tonight for the big screen TV, he just emailed me and said, hey, I'm going to be there tonight. They always give away prizes, but if I get registered tonight, does that register for me the TV at the end of the season? Yes, it does. Because what they do is they take all the registration blanks from all the huddles and they stick them into a big hopper, and then we make the drawing on the last huddle of the season just before we head off to Minneapolis-St. Paul for the Super Bowl. And then we give away that big screen TV from our friends Chris and the gang at ABC Audio Video. By the way, speaking of that, Chris and the gang, one of our proud sponsors, they're going to be taking us to Minneapolis, ABC Audio Video. They do fantastic work, and I trust them with everything in my home. Go to abcaudiovideo.com, abcaudiovideo.com. Also, new sponsor that came on this year. Really weird for a sports talk show, but Social Style Dance. Go to socialstyledance.com. And I kind of got the dissertation. It's ball season. There's a lot of things going on. New Year's Eve right around the corner. Plus, you can give gift lessons, things like that, if you want to get together with your partner or just learn how to go out and move it and groove it a little bit. SocialStyleDance.com. That is SocialStyleDance.com. One of our new sponsors helping us get to Minneapolis-St. Paul. Speaking of helping you get anywhere, Pat and Brooke and everybody over at Signature Limousine, your preferred nationwide ground transportation provider. do what I do, use what I use. Whether it was for the soon-to-be stepdaughter's 13th birthday party, we got a special night out. Sherry and I took a little while ago. We've got a big night coming up here the first couple of weekends of December where we're taking a bunch of friends to a concert. We use them. And if you're going to the airport, going down to O'Hare, they cater to your needs with great people who really take care of you. Check them out at info@booksignature.com. info@booksignature.com or just simply call Pat and Brooke, 262-888-1000. 262-888-1000. That is Signature Limousine. When we come back, we're gonna continue the discussion. We got Mike, who's in lacrosse. He's been on hold for a long time. Stick around. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back! Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are always glad to have you. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Give us a shout. 855-830-8648. This one is from Jacob, who says, not a lot of faith in Brett Hundley, not a lot of faith in Mike McCarthy, but even less faith in Ted Thompson. The question before was, what would Mike McCarthy say to Ted Thompson if he would say, convince me that you should keep your job? I say, make it Mark Murphy asking Ted Thompson, convince me for you to keep your job. I thought that was a fascinating question. I think both guys can rely upon what they've done in the past. I guess... Really, it's you can say, here's your street cred. That gets you in the door and gets you credibility. I think what you do after that is you piece together your plan for the future and say, okay, this is the direction we want to go, and here's the reasons why. You know, you can live off the past. That's like Brewers fans, you know, hang on to that 82 team, you know? We've been to the World Series, but, you know, for anybody coming in as a general manager, anybody that's going to be with the organization – you know, that's great. If you know the history of this team, history is an important thing, both positive and negative, because you never want to repeat the negative. But to me, it's all about the plan moving forward. It's not about what have you done for me lately. It's what are you going to do for me, one, to get us out of this, and two, to keep the level of expectation at the supreme level of championships. I just thought those were fascinating questions. Let's get back to the phones. Mike is listening to us in lacrosse. Mike, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, Bill, good afternoon. I love listening to your show. It's the best sports talk radio show out there.
Thank you.
Substantive material. Really appreciate when I get a chance to listen.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, two thoughts, questions on Packers offense. First of all, simpler to do. What other head coaches are calling the offensive plays? I don't think Jason Garrett with Cowboys does anymore. Is there a couple out there that still call it like
does? Well, we know Andy Reid does. Doug Peterson does for Philadelphia. He's doing it as well. You know, those are two that come to mind, you know, almost immediately. I mean, as far as coaches that still call their own plays. So, I mean, if you're an offensive guy, I mean, there's coaches that still call their own Ds. You know, they're still in on that, and they still look for certain personnel packages and such like that if they're a defensive-minded coach. But when it comes to the actual offensive play calling, there's still a few coaches out there that do it.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, this issue with the Packers offense and Hundley and stuff, I pretty much put 75% of the blame on McCarthy and only 25 on Hundley. You know, he's got a certain set of skills and so forth and limitations, and I think that McCarthy needs to realize that, see that, and exploit that. And on that note, I mean, doesn't it seem like Hundley's played better during the hurry-up offense? Maybe it's because maybe he doesn't have too much time to think and overthink it. Maybe he's better, and I'm kind of surprised that they haven't run that more often. Curious as to what your thoughts are on that.
You know what? They looked – appreciate the phone call, because go back to those scripted plays they had early on in the game on Sunday. those first 15, 16 plays, whatever it was, in that first drive, taking them right down the field, that was fantastic. I mean, that I even tweeted out, boy, wow, who is this guy? This looks like a different team. This looks like a different Brett Hundley. There was a swagger there. There was an ability there that maybe we hadn't seen or hadn't realized we thought we'd see. I mean, I thought it was they played pretty well, and I agree with you that this was a team that looked like they were ready to fly. And then obviously the wheels came off after the end zone pick, and it really never got close after that. But I don't know necessarily about the hurry up. I think it's when he gets rid of the football, the quicker he gets rid of the football, the better he is. Because he can immediately get a read, not have to worry about pressure, deliver a strike. When he gets rid of the football quicker, that's where Brett Hundley is better. It's when he starts dancing in the pocket a little bit, he is not the detailed, read-oriented, Aaron Rodgers-esque, be creative and make something out of nothing guy. He's not that guy. He's a guy that you have to rely upon to scramble away, get it out of bounds, and live to fight another day. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Tony listening to us in Greendale. Tony, how you doing today, man? What's up?
How you doing, Bill?
Doing pretty good.
Well, the past couple of weeks, these whole conversations, just have me scratching my head. I'm way on the other side on this. I think these people that want McCarthy fired or this guy fired or that guy, they just don't know what they're talking about. I mean, I was at the game Sunday. You were at the game. Everybody watched the game. If it wasn't for those interceptions, we win that game, and we were moving the ball, okay? The defense,
yeah.
We were only down 6-0 at halftime. This is McCarthy's fault. Really? He's coaching? This guy is studying? He's only played three or four full games? In the NFL, the speed is totally different in practice. It's not the same as practice. These people, to me, are so spoiled, and they just think it should just come at the flick of a switch.
Well, there is an attitude that if it's not on the same par as Aaron Rodgers, and that's not what you're accustomed to seeing. You've seen Brett Favre go to Aaron Rodgers. And not only did the play not go down, the play was elevated. So you went from a Hall of Famer to a Supreme Hall of Famer. And now you're looking at what it's like to be just another team in the NFL, and you're freaking out.
Yeah, well, a guy that's learning, Bill. He's learning.
Yeah,
he's learning. He's gonna make mistakes. I gotta turn the radio off because I can't stand listening to these people. They don't have a clue, and that's my opinion. They just don't have a clue when they talk about fire this guy and fire that guy and oh. What did they expect everything just to continue the way it was with no hiccups? Are you kidding me?
No, I agree. I agree. Appreciate the phone call. I agree with that. What I will say is when you see a dramatic drop-off in play, that begins to become concerning because then you say, okay, wait a minute. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback unlike any other. Okay, you understand the ability to elevate teammates around you because he just brings that to the table. If anything, you found out how valuable he is to this franchise. But I think when people look at it from a defensive point of view and said, okay, now the defense has to put it on themselves. So let's go see what they've got. And the talent level defensively isn't where people expect it to be. And you start looking at talent level and then obviously the Martellus Bennett train, right? You start to look at Ted Thompson and say, okay, what have you assembled personnel-wise that had this nuclear option happened for the Green Bay Packers that would still keep you a viable football team? And that's where the frustration begins to come in.
This is why I say time and time again, when Aaron Rodgers was healthy and you were in a situation where you should be competing for the Super Bowl, just getting into the playoffs does not cut it. Winning a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback is the goal, and it should be the goal every single year because we are getting a glimpse as to life without Aaron Rodgers. This is what the Packers will look like when Aaron Rodgers does retire someday. It's going to happen. The only way the Packers can be competitive and be able to compete at the same level is if they either find themselves another stud quarterback or they find and put together a top five defense, which is not easy to do. And that's a combination of hitting and finding guys in the draft, finding a couple of free agents, and having a good defensive mind as a coach, whether that's a head coach or it's a defensive coordinator or whatever you want to look at. But I'm telling you right now, watching what I watched with the Packers and Ravens, I put this out on Twitter, Bill. It is people in my generation, people who are millennials, you guys are going to get a taste of what it's like to lose and to lose bad.
This is what it's like.
We have been so spoiled for the last 25 years in Packer Nation to really only know two great Hall of Fame quarterbacks in Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. The Packers someday will be just like all these other chump teams in the NFL who once had all their glory, like the San Francisco 49ers. That's the first team I'll point to. The 49ers basked in the glory that they had.
With back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Absolutely. And now look where they are. The Packers will be down that route unless they somehow, some way find a quarterback here in the next few years that can take over for Rodgers, or Ted Thompson starts hitting on some defensive players. Because right now, I see this happening. The Packers will be just as crappy as some of the other teams we've seen over the years. Some of the great teams back in the day are crappy, and the Packers will be in that same situation. God, you're going to have to get used to that. And that's why I keep saying, Bill, Aaron Rodgers, with your quarterback, you need to take advantage. You need to be winning Super Bowls with this guy, because it'll be a travesty if Aaron Rodgers retires and this Packers team cannot win another Super Bowl with him. And that's a joke to me.
Let's do this. We're going to talk a little more basketball. Steve Ashburner, senior writer for the NBA.com, is going to be joining us coming up next. We're going to talk a little Badgers. We're going to get Ebo, co-host of the Joan Ebo Show, coming up after the top of the hour. I want to get back into this. And then an interesting article written by the Sporting News and Yahoo Sports about how there's a reputation, there's a legacy, and one thing that they point out that is something that a lot of you have pointed out, and now you've got some national media agreeing with you. We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit as well. But stay tuned. I'm going to talk some NBA hoops coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program being brought to you by Marshfield Clinic Health System. They are the official healthcare provider of yours truly. And if you have something orthopedically going on, whether it's a knee, whether it's a shoulder, whatever's got you down, they may be able to get you home the exact same day. I'm not kidding. One day, that's it. MCC Ortho. Call them 800-MCC or 855-MC-ORTHO. 855-MC-ORTHO. And you heard me right. They may be able to get you back home in as little as a day. Marshfield Clinic's Premier Care Program offers the latest procedure to get you back home, make you feel good. Go to marshfieldclinic.org to find out all about their physicians and services and locations near you. And they are the official healthcare provider of yours truly and the Bill Michaels Show. Talking some NBA hoops, Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Steve, how you doing today, man? What's up?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. So first and foremost, I want to ask you, because when we look at this Bucks team right now, we're somewhat scratching our head. It started out so good after the Bledsoe deal. Now they've lost a couple of games, and things have not been as rosy as maybe we had hoped. But is this just, you're going to live with this, some up and down stuff when you're talking about a younger ball club right now trying to find their way?
Well, I think there's some of that. I mean, the shortage of intensity that they brought to the games against Dallas and Washington, to me, were a sign of an immature, still developing team. They get a little bit of success with that 4-0 run with Bledsoe, and maybe they think, oh, it's going to be easier than we figured. And sure enough, they go and they lose in Dallas to a bad Mavericks team. And then, last night, Washington is, on par. That's where the Bucks want to be. I mean, you got to get to Washington and Toronto before you get to Cleveland, and they weren't up to the challenge last night. So I think some of that is, the life cycle and their growth. On the other hand, I also think that part of it is the whole Bledsoe thing. I think when you bring in a key player like that, there's a learning curve, and maybe it didn't show up in those first four games because of the adrenaline and the impact that he had defensively and on their pace. But you look at their shooting, I mean, in four of the six games, they've been below 28%
from the three-point line. It's a matter of Bledsoe learning his teammates learning Bledsoe learning the system, still trying to carve out his own little role. And I think that, you know, teams have, in the meantime, opponents have just sort of gone ahead and said, well, we're going to defend Giannis the way we feel we have to, take him away as much as possible. You saw that last night with the Wizards. I mean, they threw numbers at Giannis, and it's on the Bucks to, you know, to counterpunch now.
You wrote a really interesting piece the other day on with Jason Kidd, and you talked about his experiences and how that relates to some of the young guys today. What did you learn talking to Jason Kidd coming out of that piece regarding point guard play in the NBA?
Well, you know, it's the quarterback position. I talked with Jason Terry last night after the game, and, you know, no Bucks fan who also has any affinity for the Packers wants to relate this to an Aaron Rodgers, Brett Hundley thing. But, you know, when you change your quarterback, or when you, you know, add a quarterback, even is with what the Bucks have done with a point guard, you know, you're changing up quite a lot of things. So, you know, it really is on everybody involved. And whether you do that during the games, as they've had to do with their schedule lately, whether you familiarize yourself on the practice court, or whether you do that, you know, off the floor, either on the side in video or just by hanging out and talking and learning each other. I think that process has to go on. You know, I mean, Jason Kidd, he's Hall of Fame bound as a point guard. Now, you know, he ought to be able to translate that, or at least a good amount of what he learned in that career to his guys. Now, whether they can put that into practice or not on the court, you know, is really going to be on them. He can't play the spot for them.
The message from Jason Kidd, albeit he's trying to, you know, kind of develop the point guards and make them into distributors and such, on the other hand, he's been a guy that's emphasized the defensive end of the basketball. And I have said time and again, when this team buys in and they play that energized style of play, it's like they're a different team. Last night you saw them kind of flat-footed, standing around, having guys shoot the gap and pick up some offensive boards on them. It just seems like at times it's one of those difficult things to do and keep consistent on a night-in and night-out basis.
Yeah, I think teams are maybe caught up to them a little bit. So much was made about the Bucks and their wingspan and how athletic and how they can get their hands on balls and all that sort of thing. But I mean, if you get beat, if a pass, you know, sort of breaks down your defense, you need to be able to help better. They got beat repeatedly in the paint, particularly in the first half when Washington, you know, took control and you know, then asserted itself in that third quarter. You know, they've got to do better there. I mean, they've had, what was it, a couple games ago, they had a ton of blocked shots, was it against the Lakers or whatever. But, you know, that's a tactic of last resort. You don't want to rely on that. You want to take away good shots and, you know, cut down passing angles and all the basic stuff. And sometimes it seems like the Bucks don't heed that. Their minds wander a bit.
So, looking forward for this Bucks team as they continue to gel, how big of an asset is Bledsoe ultimately? When that deal went down, I think there were a lot of people here really happy to see a guy that was going to be somewhat of a facilitator, take maybe a little bit of the scoring onus off of Middleton, and then you just hope that you're hanging around, or even playing good basketball by the time it's ready for Jabari Parker to come back, and that's like a mid-season free agent acquisition.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. I think it's going to help them a lot long-term. He's good at, you know, both ends of the floor. He made his name. His calling card early in his career was as a defensive pest. He's strong. He's sturdy. He goes down. He bounces back up. Not to jinx him or anything like that injury-wise. But I do think that he is, I talked to John Wall last night, who went to Kentucky with Bledsoe. The fact that that one team on those one and done, five guys all drafted in the first round, including, you know, two very good point guards off the same college team in Bledsoe and Wall. And the way Wall looked at it is he says, you know, Malcolm Brogdon is a very good player and he'll continue to be. But he said he felt like this Milwaukee team was missing one more starter, one more potential star starter. And, you know, Bledsoe, he thinks, and I tend to agree with Wall, can be that guy. I mean, he was a near all-star during his time with the Suns. And like I say, the way he has the Bucks playing faster, when he starts to hit his own shots with a little bit more reliability, I think he'll make a big difference. And, you know, then we'll see how they you know, run through the gears when Jabari comes back and what that asks of everybody involved.
Real quick before I let you go, as you run through, say, the first quarter of this season, what stands out to you the most right now?
Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to the point of stunned by the Philadelphia 76ers. Not just the success that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid have had, but that team, you know, staying above water with the schedule that they've played. They've already played their games for the season against Golden State, Houston, and Utah. You know, and you know, they're standing. I think they're what, 2-4 maybe against those three teams.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this is a team that doesn't even have a culture of trying to win games, much less winning games. So, you know, that to me has been really, really impressive. And you have to still be impressed with what Boston has done. I was in Cleveland that first night when Gordon Hayward went down with that ghastly injury. And you thought, you know, this is going to undermine their season. They're going to be a 500 team. Forget about it for this year. And they took off after their first two losses. So, you know, I'm impressed with that. I picked Brad Stevens to be Coach of the Year in my preseason picks. And I think I'm looking pretty good at this point. Not that that was any, you know, great insight. But he has been a big difference for that Celtics team. So, you know, I'm impressed with that. And, you know, now I think we're almost at a point with Giannis and his, you know, what shaped up to be a breakout season and still might be, but it's kind of like, you know, baseball players, when they go through the league a time or two and then all of a sudden, you know, pitchers start to catch up with hitters and vice versa. And I think now it's going to be on the Bucks as a team to find ways to not just lean on Giannis and let him do everything, because he's going to have to do everything against every defender now. So, you know, they really have to keep defenses honest and take some of the burden off of him.
Steve, great stuff. We appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
You got it, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. Some really good stuff, and he's right. Now you've already been through your lineup once. Now you're kind of wait and see how teams and have teams adjusted to Giannis, and now how you make an adjustment to be better around Giannis as the Bucks continue to strive to get additional wins and get more consistent play and beat some of the teams they should be beating. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by New Mail Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin, beyond the borders. They have a location in Green Bay, Milwaukee, also south of the border down in Chicago. And whether it's ED, which, by the way, they have a 98% success rate at treating, or it's the low-T treatments for better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina, more energy, that type of thing, they can help you out there. It really does work. And the all-in-one weight loss program this time of year, 414-455-4451. 414-455-4451. That is the New Mail Medical Center. Give them a buzz and make sure you tell them we sent you. Coming up next, we'll get back to some of the phone calls. We've got a lot of stuff we want to get to, and also co-host of the Joe and Ebo Show. Ebo is going to be joining us after the top of the hour. You're going to hear from Jordy Nelson, George Koontz in the next hour as well. Football Frenzy coming up. A lot more of the Bill Michael Show after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648, on loansbykip.com, toll-free talk line. Let's get back to the phone calls real quick, try to get them in. Len is listening to us in Waukesha. Len, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm listening to you. I think it's Ted Thompson's fault that this season's falling apart. You know, he draft and develop is fine if the quarterback he's drafted is the one you're figuring is going to take Aaron Rodgers' place. Hundley isn't that. He needs to have a veteran, skilled quarterback as his reserve, because you got to figure with today's NFL, you're going to lose a quarterback for a game or two, if maybe a concussion thing. You got to be able to win that game. And the guys he's getting aren't capable of winning a game. Our defense can't carry us. I mean, they played good the last two games, but look at the teams they played. These guys are the worst off probably in the top, bottom five offenses in the league. They should have won both these games easily. And I'm thinking you're looking at guys journeymen like Ryan Fitzpatrick, Hoyer, who just signed with New England, Jacoby Brissett, who was with New England. You got to get somebody like this that can come in and win a few games, especially if you get some of the easier teams on your schedule. Right now, we don't have that. And like I said, draft and develop is fine, but Hundley isn't the guy you're going to figure take Aaron Rodgers.
And that's exactly right. I appreciate the phone call. I mean, he's not the guy that's going to hang around for the next 5, 6, 7 years and suddenly be Aaron Rodgers' guy after the fact. That isn't going to happen. I mean, and Brett Hundley, quite honestly, you know, if I'm Brett Hundley, I want to show my wares and try to get a starting job somewhere. I want to be able to go compete for a starting job. And you know, as long as Aaron Rodgers is upright, you're not competing for a starting job in Green Bay. Real quick, Glenn in Menominee. Glenn, welcome to the program, The Bill Michael Show. Glenn.
Hi,
yeah, go ahead.
Just want to say I love listening to your show, and I just got a couple comments on Brett Hundley. I think Brett Hundley, you know, has signs that just show that he's not going to be a starting quarterback of the future. And my perspective, I was at the game on Monday, and there was three situations on fourth down. And when he had to make a decision, he got sacked. And from my perspective, on fourth down, there's five things that could have happened that he didn't understand, and he never got coached after the first time it happened.
Appreciate the phone call. Glenn, real quick, I got to run because we're at the top of the hour. But sometimes, and I'm not defending Mike McCarthy, I'm just simply saying, sometimes you can tell a guy, don't do this, and they'll do it anyway. Bostic is a perfect example of the fact in trying to catch that kickoff in Seattle back in 2014. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.